You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program and WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And tonight is Bible study night. We're talking about the book of Exodus and God bringing his people out of captivity, and also his development of Moses' life and character. And so if you would like to take new spiritual ground, if you will, and see some strongholds in your life demolished, and see God do some miraculous things, we'd like to invite you out to our Wednesday night service tonight at 7. We also have a kids class, and we have a young adult class that meets as well. Hopefully you can join us 7 p.m. We would love to have you come and be a part of that. We're going to return to to Luke chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse number 20, and today we'll read on down through verse number 27. And it said, "And he, the younger son, arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." I know we'd said we'd read a little further, but that's where we're going to stop the reading right there. So when the son comes home, his father was moved with compassion. I hope you enjoyed the song at the end of yesterday's program. If not, I hope you will be able to go back and listen to that. But the father doesn't wait for him to get all the way to the house. He goes and runs and meets him. He hugs him. I'm sure that the odor was intense. I'm sure that it was probably the worst condition, the worst shape that he had ever seen his son in. But none of that mattered because he had come home. He had come home. And the father reestablishes him as a son. He begins to speak on the son's behalf. You and I need to remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. A lot of times I talk about the corrective words that God has spoken to me, the instructive words that God has spoken to me. But I also am fully cognizant of the fact that God speaks on behalf of his children. And those words are not powerless words. They are powerful words. The father's words instruct his servants on how they are to proceed in their treatment of the son. It's one thing for the father to understand the dynamic with the younger son, but he's instructing his servants as well. So let me start off today by saying this. Church, we need to be ready with open arms, no matter what people look like, no matter how broken they are, no matter how challenging to our normalcy that situation may appear, we need to be ready to act in accordance with what God speaks over people's lives. And, you know, the church that pushes new believers away is going to find that the Father's getting ready to have a conversation with them. And so I want to respond the way that the Father would respond. So he begins to speak on the Son's behalf. He turns to his servants and he says, I want to establish right here, right now, that this is not a servant. This is my Son. And so I want you to bring the best robe. You know, it was a robe that got Joseph in trouble. It was a robe of many colors. It showed that this Joseph, who was not the oldest, but he was the oldest of Rachel's children. Leah had had sons, the Bilhah and Zilpah, I think, the two handmaidens of Leah and Rachel. They had sons, and then Rachel had sons. So he was towards the latter end of the genealogy of Jacob, the offspring of Jacob, but he was the father's favorite. And that coat, while speaking most favored status with the father, created a jealousy among the other brothers, and it was that coat that they used to convince Jacob that Joseph had been killed and was no more. I also realized when I was doing a sermon series several years ago, Mother's Day is coming up, and I discovered that there was a garment that David, King David, that his virgin daughters wore. Everywhere they went, they were announcing that they were a daughter of the king. And Amnon had created in his mind a fantasy about his half sister, and he abused her, he raped her, and then he rejected her, and she took that garment and she ripped it up. And she was never the same after that. And on that particular day, we normally do something special for our ladies. And I went out and I bought a gift card. It wasn't a fancy gift card. And I said, here's what I want you to do. For every lady that's here, I want you to go out and I want you to buy an outfit that every time you put it on, it reminds you that you're a daughter of the Most High God. And it was to a clothing store. I mean, they weren't going to be able to go in and buy anything else. It's like, I want you to have a garment that every time you see it, it reminds you that God is your father. And no matter what the world does to you, that garment speaks the truth to you. And so the father said, bring out a robe. It was a robe of honor. It was the best robe. And so in an instant, this wandering vagabond of a son, this person of no financial means, this person who had a horrible lapse in judgment and made some really terrible decisions in life, suddenly he comes home repentant. And the father says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. You and I are supposed to be clothed with the garments of righteousness. We are supposed to be arrayed with the garment of praise and equipped with the full armor of God. God has provided for us a wardrobe, a closet that is filled with functional, meaningful attire that is meant not only to convey the relationship we have with God, but the lifestyle that we are now able to live because of what God has done, and a garment that sets us up for spiritual victory. Get rid of the filthy rags in your wardrobe so that you can have room for the robes of righteousness. I was telling a story in a sermon that I preached here not too long ago. Last year, my wife and I renewed our passports. And when you go and fill out that passport form, you can't make any mistakes. And I was so focused on not making any mistakes that I made six. I didn't make the same mistake six times. I made six different mistakes. And a lot of it was because I was so fixated on not messing up that I ended up messing up multiple times. I was just about to have my wife fill out the form for me because she had no problem with it at all. God is not celebrating our sin. He's celebrating his victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And so you and I are not supposed to be walking around lamenting. We're definitely not supposed to be celebrating sin, but he wants us wearing the family garments, if you will. And so it was a robe of honor. And he says, put a ring on his hand. A ring was a ring of authority. A lot of times it would be called a signet ring, that whenever they had a document and it was sealed, they would put wax on it, and they would use the king's ring, and it would create an impression in the wax, and it was a sign of authenticity. It was a sign that it was genuine, that what was on the inside reflected the desire of the throne. For us in modern times, a ring at a marriage ceremony is symbolic of covenant. It's supposed to be symbolic of that this is going to be an unbreakable bond. Now, wherever this son went, everybody would know that it was because of the actions of the father that he was able to wear the robe that he wore, and he carried a ring that said, hey, this is my son, and he will act according to my will and to my desires. That it was a ring of authority. You and I need to adopt the mindset that Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission, go into all the world, is based upon the verses before that says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. The centurion came and said, I am a man under authority. And because of I'm under that authority, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes. That centurion had learned to act in an authoritative manner because it was in compliance with the authorities that were over him. You are not a helpless victim. You are always being led in triumphal procession by Jesus Christ. So make sure that you celebrate the gifts that God gives you. And then there was one other thing. It says, put a ring on his hand and put sandals on his feet, because they were getting ready to go in the house where there was going to be a celebration. But the path forward was going to be a journey. A lot of people view life as just a series of events. They go from one event to another event to another event to another event. And I want you to understand that our life with Jesus is supposed to be a journey of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit. And so praise God. Praise God that he sets us up not only in a safe place, but he sets us up in a place of honor, in a place of authority. And he also equips us for the journey. And if you look at the armor of God, that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we're supposed to go and share what the Father has done on our behalf. So I hope that you're ready to walk out your faith. Not walk out of your faith or walk out from your faith, but to walk out your faith, and so that people see your faith on display day after day after day. So I shared this with our congregation a few weeks ago about preparing for this radio broadcast. In verse number 23, it says, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And I've looked at the condition of the son who was dying in the pig pen, and he was so desperate for food, he was willing to eat the pig slop. I saw several years ago about this farmer who had a tremendous business model. And that was, he arranged to gather up all of the discarded food from the buffets in this one very popular city. They were throwing away tons and tons and tons of food that people that had been prepared. They couldn't store it. They couldn't keep it. They just had to get rid of it. And so he arranged to haul it off, and he took it back and he fed it to his pigs. And then he sold his pigs back to the people that he had carried away their food supply. And so he had a great, great model. There was very little expense going on, but the way that he could do that was because those pigs would eat anything. And the youngest son was starving. He said, I'm going to die if I continue living the life that I'm living here. He was starving to death. At the same time, at his father's house was a calf that was feasting in abundance, where you can see the leanness in the son's physique and the leanness in his soul. In the meantime, the father was taking better care of his cows than the pig farmer was taking care of the youngest son. And here's what I love about the father. He said, "It's time to celebrate. Let's bring the best of the best. Let's bring out the fatted calf. Let's kill it. And let's eat. And let's celebrate." What a miraculous turn of events had taken place in this youngest son's life. Now he was celebrating. You know why? Because the father valued the son more than he valued the cow, more than he valued his possessions. He valued his son. And he said, "Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate." When was the last time you celebrated? I'm not talking about celebrating Christmas. I love celebrating Christmas. I love celebrating my birthday. I love celebrating Thanksgiving. I love celebrating New Year's. I love celebrating Cinco de Mayo. So let me tell you something funny. I was describing to our congregation on a Wednesday night Bible study. I said, "Look, because of what I've seen in my family dynamic from other family members of generations gone by," I said, you could pile up this entire room filled with drugs. It's not going to be any temptation for me. I can walk. I can ignore all of that. It has no temptation in my heart. Because of what I've seen alcohol do to other people, I have no desire. When you've had a couple of relatives or several relatives that literally drank themselves to death, it doesn't have any temptation for me. I have no intention of duplicating that. And I said, if you piled this room filled with someone else's money, it's not going to be any temptation for me to steal that, because it doesn't belong to me. And I've seen people who've tried to reappropriate other people's belongings, and I don't look good in horizontal pinstripes or in orange. There's no temptation there for me. And one of my board members said, "What about Mexican food?" I said, "That could be a different story. Mexican food's my preferred cuisine of choice, if you will. I think that we need to celebrate anniversaries. I don't think we should minimize those celebrations, but sometimes God has a reason to celebrate, and that is, it's not because of something that's on the calendar, not a milestone event of something that happened a long, long time ago, but instead, it's celebrating a reconciled relationship, celebrating redemption. Because let me tell you, the son could have come home and said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." And the father said, "Yes, you have." And he could have said, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And he said, "No, you're not." He said, "Make me like one of your hired servants." And the father could have said, "No way. You squandered all of that other stuff." But that's not the father's heart. Let me tell you today that God loves you. Your brokenness does not surprise him. Your failures are never going to be greeted by him with, "I had no idea." He knows all about our brokenness. He knows about our sin. He knows about our guilt. He knows about our shame. When it comes to the surface, it's not to bring awareness to the Father. It is to bring awareness to us. Can I tell you, this youngest son, when he came back, he was not going to come back the same way that he left. He left thinking he had it all together. He left thinking he had the world in the palm of his hand. He thought he was smarter and knew a better way of life. But when he came back home, he was going to come back passionate. He came back celebrated, but he was going to come back and he was going to have a better understanding of the Father's heart than he ever had before. Today, I want to remind you that if the rulers of this world had known what God had in mind in raising Jesus from the dead, it says they never would have crucified him. I want to challenge all of us today to celebrate those who've been reconciled with the Father, and that includes us, but celebrate those. And if you're just coming back to faith in Jesus Christ, don't come back lackadaisical. Don't come back half-hearted. Come back passionate. Come back with such a zeal and an intensity in your heart that you will make the devil regret that he ever led you astray. And I think all of us that we need to be very intentional about pursuing our relationship with God. Celebrate. It's Wednesday. I know most celebrations people like to celebrate on the weekend, but maybe at lunch today, maybe on your drive home, you can just say, "God, I just want to thank you for being so, so good to me." I came home one day and my grandson was singing a song by Phil Wickham. "You've been so, 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 so good to me." And I watched him as he sang that. And I was like, I don't ever want to lose the wonder that God has been so, so good to me. You have a great day. We appreciate you tuning in and feeding your spirit. We can be a blessing to you. Let us know, and we will join you in praise and worship of the King. Let's celebrate today. God bless you. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."